And that is that you fail to satisfy the need to accomplish something worthwhile. You fail to satisfy the need to accomplish something worthwhile. How many things have you really left your fingerprint upon? And you can say, I did that. I accomplished that. What have you done with your life the last 10, 20, 30, or 40 years that you can sit down with pride and say, I did that. I accomplished that. Sometimes it's a very embarrassing question because we can't really put our fingerprint or our finger on very much in our life and say, you know, I'm real pleased that I did that. We stop and we say, where have all the years gone? But we ought to ask, what have I done with all those years? Wasted years spells wasted lives. And brethren, that bothers us. And that gets you back on the guilt problem again. But to be a joyful person, you see, you're going to have to be convinced you're worthwhile. And you have to accomplish something to feel like you're worth something. If you want to feel important, if you want to feel like you're somebody, then you have to produce something that will make you feel like you're important and you're somebody. If you don't feel like tonight that you're worth anything, you'll never be happy. And you'll be depressed. Because you see, a feeling of self or lack of self-worth will doom you to depression and make you feel sorry for yourselves and nobody loves me and I'm not any good and I can't do anything. All you're doing, you see, is saying that you don't accomplish anything. You know, a lot of people, and I guess I'm guilty of this, we envy the successful folks too much. I've always had two ambitions, and I've said this to you before, and I'll say it again. I'd love to play the piano. I can just see myself like Liberace. Yeah, I'm going to be the best. Now, if I want to be, so I wouldn't wear all those rings, you know. But I'd love to be able to play the piano like that. I just wish I could do it. But God would have to work a super-duper miracle for me to do that. First of all, He would have to change my memory. I couldn't even remember what was on the paper, much less play. Not that, but He would have to improve my eyesight. I don't know what's wrong with my eyes, but I can look at a staff of music, and all I can see is one line and one dot at one time. And I understand you have to look at all the lines on that one time and play all of them. I can't even see one. Something wrong with my eyesight. I can't do that. And my wife would say, there's something wrong with your rhythm, too. And I couldn't do that. So, you know, to wish to be something I could not be, that's beyond the realm of possibility, I think is just a waste of time. And then secondly, I've always wanted to sing. I think the guy that sings has a tremendous gift of the Lord. I'd love to sing. But again, I have the same problem. God will have to change my whole vocal cord system. It just doesn't work for me. Now, some people say, well, if I can't be number one, I won't be anything. If I can't accomplish and be the best, then I won't do anything but just wish. Last night, we went to a concert that Ginger was in. It was an orchestra concert of the junior high school, I guess, in the area. And after it was over and we were waiting for her to pick up her belongings and come outside the rehearsal room where they were all gathered after the concert was over, we were standing around in Sam Rayburn High School in the hall, and I happened to notice a sign on the office door. It had a bunch of little old ducks on it, all sizes and sorts, and they were going in every direction. And it had this little quote on the bottom of the sign, do something. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Now, I think the first part of that slogan is correct and very advisable. That is, do something, lead, or follow. But the last part is not good advice. Get out of the way. For you see, if that's all you ever do is just get out of the way, then you'll never be joyful. If that's all you accomplish, just go and sit down and get out of the way and be a forgotten person, then you'll never be happy in the Lord. Because too many Christians today are sitting on the sidetrack, going nowhere, and doing nothing worthwhile. They've just gotten out of the way. I want to ask you a simple question. What exciting thing have you planned for tomorrow? Now, I didn't say what routine are you going through tomorrow. I said, what exciting thing if you plan for more. You hadn't kissed your wife in a week, you ought to plan. Now, that ought to be exciting, you know? That really ought to get some things stirred up, you know? But I said, what have you planned tomorrow that's exciting? You say, well, haven't really thought about it. Nothing really. Oh, what did you plan today that was exciting? Well, I don't guess anything. What did you plan yesterday that was exciting? Nothing. Now, if you add nothing to nothing, I feel like you'll always get nothing. And a daily life that is filled with the routine of nothing is a life that will always be depressed. Because you got nothing to look forward to, nothing to gain. Your life is just a big nothing. And that depresses anybody. Now, a lot of Christians are living in that state. You hear a lot of people tell of the humdrum existence. That is, they have nothing to do, and they seemingly say they have nothing to live for. They just exist from one day to the next. You know, as soon as God made Adam, He gave one of the secret ingredients to joyful living. As soon as God made Adam, He gave him one of the single ingredients of a joyful life. What was it? Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, and now notice, and told him to dress it and to keep it. In other words, He said, Adam, if you're going to be happy on earth, then you're going to have to accomplish something worthwhile every day on your own. You're going to have to accomplish something that will be satisfying to you every day on your own. You have to accomplish something that will be rewarding to you every day on your own. And something that will be exciting to you every day on your own. Now folks, that philosophy hasn't changed at all. When Jesus came to this earth, He followed the same philosophy that was given to Adam when He was placed upon this earth. Look, if you will, at John 17:13. John 17:13. Jesus said, now notice, here's our example. This is His prayer. He says, now, Father, I come to You, and these things I'm praying to You while I'm here in the world, that My disciples might have their joy fulfilled. Well, He says, My joy. Now, where did He get His joy from? Well, let's go over to verse, if you will, 4b. Same chapter. Go backwards to verse 4b. Notice Jesus said, Father, I finished the work that You gave me to do. I accomplished something worthwhile, Father. Now, I want You to give My joy to My disciples. What I have to do to get the joy of Jesus, I have to accomplish something worthwhile. That's what I have to do. That's what He had to do. God the Father just did not ship down by express joy to Jesus. Jesus gained joy by accomplishing something worthwhile every day in His life. When Jesus addressed the letter to the church in Laodicea, chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 17, Jesus is writing to a church, and He says to this church, interesting verse, He says, you're wretched. And He says, you're miserable. That sounds like a lot of churches, doesn't it? You're wretched and you're miserable. Well, what's wrong with it? How come? Well, look, if you will, at verse 15. I know what kind of works you do. I know what you're doing. You're neither hot nor cold. In other words, you're lukewarm. You're on the sidetrack doing nothing. You're accomplishing nothing, going nowhere, making no plans, and no wonder you're miserable. I know what you're doing. Nothing. That's what's wrong with you. Now, you know, it takes a lot of Christians a long time. Sometimes they never learn that a lukewarm Christian can't be happy. There's no way. Now, if you seek nothing and accomplish it, you'll never be satisfied. I don't know too many folks that's normal that are satisfied with nothing. And therefore, if you're not satisfied, you can't be joyful. You know, Psalms 118:24 is a favorite verse of most all Christians. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it and be glad in it. Well, you'll never rejoice in today unless you have set out to accomplish something worthwhile today. Otherwise, you've got no reason to rejoice. That's the whole secret of rejoicing in the Lord and rejoicing in the day the Lord has made. You're going to accomplish something. That is, the day you get up, man, it holds an appeal to you. I've got big plans today. That's great. Otherwise, oh hum, another day. And you can spend 365 of those whole hums until you're 70, 80 years old. But I want to go back and repeat, rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing every day is not possible unless you're accomplishing something worthwhile. Now, I want to keep saying worthwhile because if you just sit and rock in the chair, you're accomplishing something. You know, if you just stare at the television set, you're accomplishing something. If you just look out the window and watch the cars go by, you're accomplishing something. But that's not really something worthwhile. That's not something you can really get excited about. At least I don't think it is. You have to make your life count for something to be happy in Christ. Something worthwhile. Now, let me say this, Christian. You just can't accomplish something worthwhile in the world's realm. That is, as far as fame and wealth and whatever else might come along with it, and riches and good houses and automobiles and the material things. You just can't accomplish those worthwhile things and be a joyful person. No way. That's not enough to bring joy to the Christian's life. He has to do more than that. John 15, the Sunday school lesson this morning for the adults brought this text out. I didn't think about it, but I'm glad I was in Sunday school this morning. It gave me a verse I could use tonight. John 15, 11 and 16, I want you to notice, though, what it says. Jesus said, I've spoken these things to you because I want my joy to remain in you. Therefore, you will have full joy. Then, if you will, go down to verse 16. You have not chosen me. I've chosen you. And I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Oh, produce something worthwhile. How am I going to have that full joy that the Lord Jesus says ought to be mine? I'm going to have to bring forth fruit. Not just materialism, but I'm going to have to produce for the Lord Jesus Christ if I'm going to have the full joy He wants me to have. Then there's 1 Corinthians 15:58. We don't have time tonight for all these. You remember the story of the rich man? Jesus said he built bigger barns because his crops were overflowing. And Jesus didn't criticize the man for being a good farmer, for working hard and accomplishing something worthwhile with his farm. He criticized him and called him a fool because he was not rich towards God. He didn't accomplish anything for God. God said, that's wrong. That's wrong. In Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says, we are created for good works in Christ Jesus. We're created to accomplish them. And it's through that that we get the joy that we want to escape the depression that we don't want. You know, I think sometimes when you find the miserable Christian, Jesus would only have to ask one question to salvage him. Perk him up. Matthew 20, verse 6. All you have to ask some folks to cheer them up, get them back on the right path, and bring joy in their life. Last part of the verse, Jesus asked the question in the parable, why stand you here idle all day? What are you doing standing here? What are you doing sitting there? Man, there's more things you can do than that. That's worthwhile, and that'll bring joy into your life. Again, let me say, if you don't accomplish anything, you're going to feel guilty about it. I mean, you'll feel like your life is useless and it's wasteless and you're lazy. And that, you see, you'll begin to be punished by your conscience because your conscience says you're a no good, lousy bum. And then that'll make you feel bad. And it's just a vicious circle and you're not going to be happy. You follow the story of Christ from His ministry period on till His resurrection, you realize He was an active person. Very active person. He was an organized person. He knew where he was going. He'd set his face to go to a certain city. He knew what he was planning to do each day. He knew how to redeem the time, as the Bible would say. Now, I don't believe everything Jesus did was front page news. If you read it, John 21:25. Little things can be exciting. It doesn't have to be walking on water, or stilling a storm, or healing the blind, or raising the dead. You know, little things can be accomplished that bring joy. Look at the last verse of the book of John. There are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written about what he did. Little thing. I believe the life of Christ was exciting. That's the kind of life that brings joy. You and I need daily doses of satisfaction that makes us feel like we're worth living, makes us feel like we're worthwhile. We need to feel and see the stamp of God's approval upon our life that says, well done, well done, rather than another wasted one. He ought to stamp it, well done, instead of stamp it, another wasted one. Now, to have joy, your life has to have clear direction. Just has to have clear direction. You have to work at being joyful by working at accomplishing something worthwhile for God. How do I do that? Let me quickly give you four things you can do. Number one, set down some simple and reachable goals, things that you ought to do, and things that you'd like to do, things that would excite you as you think about doing them, things that would bring happiness to other people, things that need to be done, things that Jesus would like to do with you. Just set some simple little goals. Not very many now, but just set a couple of goals tomorrow. Now set them today. Secondly, set the time and the plans that you're going to make tomorrow. Carry out the goal. You've got to accomplish it. Therefore, you set the goal, you set the plan, and you set the time. Set a deadline. And then, fourth, you are to make a report at the end of the day. It's testimony time. It's joy time. It's rejoicing time. How do you say, am I going to rejoice every time? Okay, I'm going to tell you how. I want you to get your joy the same place Jesus got it. I want you to get your joy from your effort and not from the outcome. I'll say it again. You get your joy from the effort, not from the outcome. Your happiness comes from doing the plan, not from if the plan worked or not. Just doing it ought to bring the joy. Now, I know failure sours, but you cannot have failure when it comes to the joy of just carrying out your plan. You can have success there. So pick a worthwhile goal. I don't care what it is. Pick a worthwhile goal. Maybe it's going to be on the elevator tomorrow. I'm going to smile on somebody and just say, good morning. You look real good. Just do that. Yeah, that's not a biggie. That's a little, but it'll cheer you up because you see you make somebody else happy. You might make their day for them. Pick worthwhile goals. Things you can get excited about. These women that send out the cards, they sort of get excited about the people that get the card. That's good. That's a worthwhile goal. Now, I want to say a joyful saint is a saint filled with enthusiasm. I believe this, that there's no real joy possible that's not associated with some degree of enthusiasm. How do I get enthused? Well, you again focus on your goal, your vision, your dream, your desire, till it becomes a magnificent obsession to you, until your mouth begins to water. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Now, that's the kind of enthusiasm you got to really get going. You just sit there, oh, I don't want to go. It's going to be a mess, and I'm going to mess up, and it's going to just make me miserable, and I wish I could do something. If you take that attitude, brother, there won't be any joy. You're going to rob yourself. You go in there and say, man, I'm going to be a fantastic success in my effort. I'll bowl them over. They may not listen to me. I may not help them, but boy, I'll come on trying. And I'll be happy about that. I'll give it every one effort. Because you see, if you're not enthusiastic, you doom yourself to discouragement and defeat for your start. Man, you can set your attitude sour and you'll never be happy in the Lord. Because you won't be happy in doing your goals. Then let me say this, if you're enthusiastic, let me warn you some things. You're going to have to take some risks. You know, anybody that wants to accomplish something worthwhile has got to take some risks. First of all, take the risk of reaching out to people before they'll reach out to you. That's one of the hardest hurdles we have to get over. I think it'd be a good thing if all of us were set to go next Sunday morning. I'm going to speak to 5 people. When I walk in the door, and I'm not going to sit down till I speak to 5 people in the church. You get to thinking about that all week and picture yourself doing that, man, you'll come in here grabbing the first five, you know, and they'll wonder what on earth has gotten into you. But if all five of you, all of you doing five, man, we'll have the friendliest church in town. That's a good goal. Think of reaching out to people. Take a risk. And secondly, there's the risk of making a mistake. Go ahead and make a mistake. Everybody does. Everybody does. But it's worth it. And then thirdly, take the risk of being embarrassed. It happens to the best of us. Go ahead. It doesn't make any difference. You'll get over it. They will do. Then take the risk of failure in the sense that the ultimate desire of yours just may not become true. But be not weary in well-doing. That doesn't mean a total failure. I like this saying, and I know you've seen it before, better to attempt to do something and fail than attempt to do nothing and succeed. For you see, always there's the joy of trying, doing your best, of the effort that you put into it. And if you don't have any goals, start setting some. I'm not going to tell you what goals to set, but if you don't set any goals, you'll not go anywhere. Your future will be bleak. Set some goals. The more you set, the more you'll accomplish, and the more you accomplish, the happier you'll get. And you'll get excited. Then you'll have the joy that Christ had because He was always accomplishing something worthwhile. Make you feel good inside for a change. To make you feel like you're somebody. You're important. You got a lot to offer the world. It'll boost your self-worth to you. And that'll help you have joy. Now, one of the problems with Christians not having joy is they're not accomplishing anything worthwhile. Again, to make your life count in as many ways as you possibly can. And watch the joy come into your life. And you begin to get that joy and you'll find people come to you and say, hey, what you got? You know, something's happened to you. I'd like to have what you got. Where'd you get it? And then you can tell them, oh, it's a secret ingredient that comes from the Jesus law. Well, if they really believe you got it, they say, well, tell me about it. Because I can't get any of that stuff anywhere else. I might listen to where you got it from. You know, it's really our fault sometimes that people are turned off because they don't see anything to turn on to when they see us. But we can solve that problem by beginning tomorrow to accomplish just one thing. Set you one goal, then two and three. And keep a timetable and keep a record and see what you've done. And you know, you'll have some tremendous testimonies to tell folks you live with and to tell folks that you work with and to tell your church folks about. You know, your life becomes a thrill because it becomes an influence. And that's the joy. It becomes an influence in the lives of other people. A lot of folks will count on you if you'll set the goal in your life to influence them. They'll begin to count on you and you'll be important in the lives of other people. Father, we're thankful tonight for the joy that Christ promises, and we know the world is eagerly tonight searching for the happiness and the joy that the Lord can give. And we ask this night that we really take serious this matter of wasted years and embarrassment and the shame of doing nothing, all because we haven't set any goals. We don't know where we're going, have no plans. But may we begin to make plans every day to accomplish something worthwhile that we can sit back and say, that makes me feel good. I'm so happy I did that. It was worth all the effort, and I took the risk, and I'm so glad. I'll remember it all my life. It was worth the cost. God, help us to realize these are the great moments in our lives that really matter. In Jesus' name, amen.